Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, hey, the lights come on and you didn't look that much worse. So praise God for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. So thankful for my Lord. I'm so thankful for what he's done in me. So thankful what he's doing in me. Amen. Because he's, you know, the Bible talks about God completing the work. You know, even Paul said, he's like, not that I have attained, but I press toward that goal, amen? And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm pressing toward that goal. I'm endeavoring every day to go higher in the Lord. Every week that passes, I want to go to a different place in God. I want to see greater glory of God in my life, manifested in my life, hallelujah. And I know you do too. That's why you're here this morning, amen? And we're just going to believe God together, hallelujah, to get into all that he has for us, amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to go where God wants us to go because that's a good place to be, amen? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Today's message is called Confession to Possession. Confession to Possession. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is a message that in some level we hit on all the time. But this is something that is so important in the body of Christ. Amen. And I know you may hear me say that a lot. But that's because the things we preach are important to the body of Christ, amen? And you know, it's hard to say, well, this is more important than that. But we know that as we put the word to practice, that things change, that things start developing in our lives, and we get to those places where God intended us to be, amen? But it's about putting the word to practice. You know, last night in Corey, I taught about faith, and if you get a chance, you should listen to the message. But I taught about how faith, you know, is a lifestyle. It's not just a thing that you do. It's not just a thing you believe, you know, and that's really what the word of God is. It's a lifestyle. You can't just do the word once in a while and expect that you would have faith to do what God asked you to do. You have to put to practice faith as a lifestyle. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know people who live in a lifestyle of something, you usually see that come out on them, right? Last night I used the example of a football player, praise the Lord, that when you see the football game, you're seeing the effects of a lifestyle, but you're not seeing the lifestyle. Amen. The lifestyle is in the back room, it's in the gym, it's in all those practices and all that stuff. And the same thing is with Christians. Our lifestyle it will determine what our outcome will be. Amen. And if we make it a lifestyle of the word, then we will see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the promise. A promise that we're given through the word, amen? Praise the Lord. Just like the greatest gift, that of salvation, from eternal damnation, just as that must be received, so must all the promises of God. No promise of God is automatic in our lives. Even salvation, the most important of all the promises, the greatest thing that we could receive, salvation, is only guaranteed through what we will receive. If we receive it, we will get it. Amen? If we do it, if we do what we have to do to get it, then we'll receive it. Now, Jesus paid for it. It's free. We don't have to pay for it, in a sense, but we do have to do things to obtain it. Amen? In other words, we have to receive it from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do not make the mistake of thinking that when I say possession, I am solely talking about material things. The possession I am referring to is all of what the Lord has for us. It is all of what is in his plan. When I talk about possession in this church, generally speaking, I am talking about all that God has for us. What is it that he has for us to possess? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's see here. Where am I? I kind of lost my notes there. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Possession. The possession is the people. It's his grace and ability. It is all the things that we obtain by promises through our faith. So we only obtain from God through our faith. Amen? God has promised things, but just because they're promised doesn't mean they're an automatic. We have to do our part in order to receive of those things. Amen? There's so many things that are found in that. Amen? But like I said, it's the people that we're believing for. We don't gain a church just because we open the doors and start holding services. We gain a church because a true church, and I'm talking about a true church. I don't care about just having a church. I don't just want people filling the seats. I want everyone who's sitting in here, I want them to be faithful in the full plan of God. I don't care about people. I'm not saying I don't care about people. I don't care about having people that just want to go to have their religious duty done. If you go to church just to have your religious duty done, you haven't got it yet. So you might as well, you need to listen. Hallelujah. see, because church is so much more about just coming to have your religious duty done. If we do anything, if we pray, if we go to church, if we spend time in the Word just because of religious duty, we have completely missed the whole purpose. God wants us to have a relationship with Him, amen? He wants us to know Him, hallelujah? Possession is the people. It's His grace and ability. It is all the things that we obtain by His promises through our faith. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts 4, and we're going to go to verse 10. Praise God. I love the Bible. I tell you that all the time. But I love it because every time I get into it, it sets me free. Every time I read the Word, it sets me free. Every time I get into the Word, I'm like, hey, glory, hallelujah. That's the truth right there. Praise the Lord. That's why this happens. That's why this doesn't happen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You understand life a lot better when you look at it through the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Acts 4:10. We'll read all the way through verse 12. Praise God. Let's see here. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. Now, what was happening here, just to put this in a little bit of context, is Peter and John, they were there, they laid hands on a man and got him his healing, praise the Lord. And, of course, the Pharisees didn't like it. You know, don't we see that today? Oh, we got all those Pharisee Christians out there that, oh, you lay hands on people in that church and the healing message, I don't know about all that. Hey, it's in the Bible, folks. That's what the Bible talks about, hallelujah. But they did the same thing back then. It was religious spirits is all it is. You know, whenever somebody opposes a word, you understand that's a religious devil. That's a religious devil is trying to uproot people and trying to get them. You know, when the Word is preached, because you can preach stuff. I can go through everything that we preach. We preach about health. We preach about the blessings of the Lord. We preach about prosperity. We preach about the plan of God. We preach about faith. All this stuff is over and over and over again in the Word. This is not just like randomly we just pull one scripture out here or there. And the reason I say that is because there's so many people that oppose those teachings. Yeah, there's so many of our brothers and sisters in the faith that they would sooner see people go to hell than they would to see them in our churches. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's people, Christians out there, that would sooner see people on the path to hell than they would see them in our churches. Why? Because they get a full of religious devils. Yeah, they don't want to listen to the truth. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. But he's saying that it was by Jesus Christ that the man, he said it wasn't by our ability. Just as like I tell you too. If somebody gets healed in this church, it's not because I'm so awesome. Praise the Lord. It's not because I did something so good. It's because the Lord is doing something. Amen? Praise the Lord. If someone gets set free in this church, it's not because I did something so awesome. It's because of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, this is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. There is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. You know what's interesting here is most people think that this is just automatically about salvation, which it is. It is about salvation. You know, the Bible is about salvation, praise the Lord. But when you read the scripture in context, what is he talking about? He's talking about healing. He's talking about the wonderful, the miraculous power of God. See, this word saved here, it's really interesting. If you look that up in the Greek, it means to heal, preserve, be whole, keep safe and sound, save from evils which obstruct messianic deliverance. Messianic deliverance would be salvation. Or not just salvation, be delivered from all the things that the Messiah delivered us from. Amen? So you could say it like this. There is, let's see here, let's read it. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be healed. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be preserved, by which we may be whole, by which we may be kept safe and sound. Hallelujah. There is no other name. Hallelujah. Well, this is really important for us to understand. We're talking about confession to possession. We're talking about what we do with our mouth. You see, by the name, when they went around doing these works, they did them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What did they do? They said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. What was that doing? That was speaking something out. The Bible has a lot to say about us and what we say and speaking out, but we're talking about what we are going to receive in this life starts with where we're going, what we're going to confess. And now I want to tell you something about confession. Because one trap that Christians can get into is they can start confessing something and never really have faith in it. They never have it built in them. See, you can say something over and over just because you repeat it and never mean it. Amen? That's exactly why I love to use the example of the Lord's Prayer. I know so many people that have read they have learned in church the Lord's Prayer. They have recited what's called the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again, and they never have any clue what it means. They just recite it. In fact, so much so that they don't even know what the words are really saying. They don't know what God was really saying in that. See, because if you really understood it, you wouldn't just recite the Lord's Prayer over and over. Oh, I'm going to step on some religious devils here. I'm going to step on some religious toes. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you knew, if you truly understood the Lord's Prayer, you would not sit there reciting it over and over again. Well, praise the Lord. I grew up in a church where we recited it over and over again. That's a good religious thing to do. Here's your religious badge for you. Hallelujah. You got your first religious merit badge, and now you can put that on your sash, praise the Lord, and show everybody. But it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because it doesn't get in you that way. What gets in you is when you understand the word. When you put the word in you, you build your faith on it, and you're like, let it change your life. You're like, all of a sudden, you start understanding. See, because those same people that recite the Lord's Prayer, they have no clue that in that prayer, it directs us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that would take all that anti-prosperity message, throw it right out the window. That would take all that anti-healing message and just throw it right out the window. It would take all that God wants you sick, poor, and defeated and just throw it right out the window. But see, we can't do that unless we understand it. It's important to understand the word. It's important to confess something because it's in you and not just because you've heard it over and over again. Amen? I confess often that I was healed. But until I get understanding of healing, until I get scriptures built in me and have that, let them have place in my life, it doesn't change anything. I can say whatever I want to say. Praise the Lord. Conversely, people of the world, people that come out of the world, they speak all the time as the world speaks. And that's why they have what the world has. You ask somebody how they are. Well, I'm just getting by. Just barely getting along. Oh, it's so tough. I know that sometimes things feel tough, but the more you confess it, the more you'll have it. When you start confessing that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, hallelujah, praise the Lord, then your yoke and your burden is going to start being light and easy. When you start getting that in you, when you start reading the word and building that in you and start confessing the things that the Bible says, when you start saying that he's my redeemer, he's redeemed me from all the curse of the law, praise the Lord, then you're going to get beyond all those things that are the curse of the law. When you start digging in, you start building those things. See, the first thing that humans like to do, and this is why they like to, I'm going to tell you why, because the devil likes you to do it too. See, for some reason, and I don't understand why it is, but Christians, people in general, think that every thought that comes in their head is automatically theirs. And so they instantly take ownership of it. That's why people who have really stupid thoughts and do really stupid things, they get mad when you tell them they're wrong. Because it's their thought. Well, it happened in my head, it must be mine. But you ever remember the old like cartoons and stuff? They would have like the devil sitting on one shoulder and an angel sitting on the other, and they're always listening to the devil. You know, they always got a kick out of it. That's really the way it is, because there's whispers in your ear all the time. Do this, do that, touch this, touch that. That's what happened to Eve. The serpent came to Eve, and he said, "Did God really say this?" He questioned the word. Did the Lord really want you to have that? Do you think the Lord really wanted you to do these things or to do them this way? No, you just go do what you want to do. This feels good, so it must be God. Hallelujah. And people take those thoughts and they run with it. And that's why they don't have. You see, because people, they have, confession works when faith is built in you. So in other words, when you believe something, when you truly believe it, and then you confess it, then it comes to pass. But when you don't truly believe it and you just say it, nothing comes to pass. But see, what happens is people truly believe that bad things are going to happen in their life. It's easy to believe that because there's no opposition to that. There's no opposition to you believing that there's bad things happening in your life. There's no opposition. Why? Because the devil doesn't care if you believe the thing. He wants you to believe there's bad things. The only opposition you're going to get about bad things is from the devil for good things. He's going to say, no, but God doesn't really want you. I mean, that house is a little bit too much for you. You could never afford that kind of car. You could never really be out of debt. You could never really pay all your bills on time. You could never really be healed. It happens all the time. And people believe it, and so they believe it, and that's what they confess. That's what they talk about. See, we have to be careful. If we're people that talk, and a lot of us are, hallelujah. But if we're people that talk a lot, we need to be careful about what we're saying. Because what we're saying can either be, the Bible says it could be either justifying us or condemning us. It could either be putting something in our life or be taking something out. There are people who confess things all their lives. I used the example yesterday. His name was, I forget his name. He was a I think he was the lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the day. Anybody remember that band? Well, praise the Lord. But he always confessed he would never live till he was 30. He died at 29. Hallelujah. It's the truth. You will have what you say. Praise the Lord. Confession to possession. What do you want to have? When you're talking, you need to think about, with the words that are coming out of your mouth, you need to think about, do I want what's on the other side of that? Do I want what that bridge is taking me to? Do I want what that road is taking me? Because that is what's paving the road of your life, is your words. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We want to be healed. We want to be preserved. We have to understand that this stuff isn't going to happen unless we're confessing the right things, unless we're speaking the right things. So we're going to see this. Amen? Turn with me to Mark 16. Glory to God. Mark 16, we're going to read verses 17 and 18. Praise the Lord. This is the Great Commission. Hallelujah. The Great Commission. We all talk, everybody talks about the Great Commission. We're going to be part of the Great Commission. All religions talk about the Great Commission. And I always bring you here. Brought you here often. We're going here again. Jesus said. Everybody say, Jesus said. Who's Jesus? He was God, right? Jesus was God on earth. So you could say God said. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I always say what I see my Father, hear my Father say. Praise the Lord. So we know that when Jesus said this, it was coming from the mouthpiece of God. Amen. So this must be the will of God, right? And these signs. Oh, no, I start in 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Believe what? Believe that these signs will follow them because they believe. Yeah. Listen, you can't be a believer if you don't believe. Yeah. And if you don't believe, these signs aren't going to follow you. These signs will follow those that believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Hallelujah. Just waiting for you all to get caught up because praise the Lord. We don't want to be too distracted now in church. We want to get what the word has for us. Hallelujah. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Jesus said this. Jesus said this, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Speaking with tongues doesn't mean you get hooked on phonics. It doesn't mean all of a sudden that you're learning Spanish or you're learning French or you're learning something German, something like that. Speaking with tongues is speaking with tongues of angels. Hallelujah. It's the tongues that don't sound quite right. It's the tongues that everybody's scared of and runs from. It's the tongues that the Baptists will tell you make you the devil. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. It's the truth. I love the Baptists, but that's what they'll tell you. Amen. They'll tell you that tongues business is of the devil. But Jesus must have been of the devil then. Hallelujah. I said Jesus must have been of the devil. Now, there's excesses in it. There's people who don't understand it. There's different operations of tongues. This all comes in teaching. We understand that. But that's what we do here, amen? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I'm not going to cover all this stuff just because Well, praise the Lord. He's not saying you go play with snakes, and he certainly isn't saying go drink poisonous stuff. If you do stuff like that, you've proven you don't have faith. Therefore, you don't have enough faith to drink the thing that's deadly. Don't play with the snakes because they'll bite you and they'll probably kill you. Don't do it. That's not what he's talking about. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What he said, praise God, hallelujah. They will lay hands on sick and they will recover. Praise God. What does it say here? It says, in my name, they will do. In my name, they will do. What does that mean? What did the disciples, the apostles do? They went around doing the works in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, rise and walk. In Jesus' name, you are healed. In Jesus' name, be set free. In Jesus' name, what is that? That's speaking out. They weren't just doing it under the authority, though they were doing under the authority, but the authority was when they spoke it out. Amen? The authority is like a badge. It's like, I love, my pastor always uses this example. It's like the policeman standing on the street. You can stand there all day long, but a policeman with a badge can stop a bus. Hallelujah. Or they just say stop. Hold their badge, says stop, and people stop. And they'll direct traffic, go this way and that way. Hallelujah. It's authority. It's the same thing that we've been given. We've been given authority, but that authority is in our mouth. And this is why it's important to be speaking the right stuff. But listen, if you're constantly hearing the wrong stuff, you ain't going to be speaking the right stuff. If you're constantly listening to bad music or watching nasty movies or hanging around people that are just terrible, they just talk terrible, they talk trash, they do all kinds of things, they backbite. Listen, if you're hanging around people that talk about other people all the time, something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's not godly. You better watch because that stuff will bite you. Amen? Because it puts it in you, and whatever is in you is what's going to come out. The Bible tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Why is that? Because whatever you think is what you speak. And when you speak, that's what you become, because you believe that what you said. People generally don't speak things they don't believe. Yeah. That's why sometimes it's so frustrating as a pastor, because you got to get people believing different than what they came in with. They come in believing all kinds of crazy stuff. There's all kinds of Christians that believe people become angels. There's all kinds of Christians that believe people become butterflies and birds and all kinds of other stuff, because it's foolishness. It's ridiculous. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's Christians. How about this? There's Christians that go to psychics. Dear Jesus, one of the most evil things you can possibly do, and then the people wonder why that stuff's in their life. Because as soon as you go there, you open that door to all those familiar spirits and demons, and they flood your life. You just said, welcome in. Yeah. Come on in. Yeah. That stuff is evil. There's Christians that follow horoscopes. Stupidity. It's foolishness. All this stuff will lead you right to the devil, because that's the realm of the devil. The Holy Spirit will guide us. You don't need no stinking psychic. Hallelujah. You don't need somebody reading your tarot cards or something like that. It's all a bunch of devil garbage. Hallelujah. You don't need no Ouija board. Throw that stuff in the trash. You better not even have that stuff in your house. I'm going to tell you right now. You open the door. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. In my name, they will do. They will use the authority that's in my name, and this is what they'll do. Those that believe. He also said that. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:32 says, I'm just going to read it to you. Romans 8:32 should be a scripture you're very familiar with. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Okay, so this scripture should be so ingrained in us that we know. But this scripture is connected to some other scriptures in Romans. I want you to turn there, Romans 10:8, but I don't want you to forget about that scripture. Hallelujah. Romans 10:8, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith that I preach to you today, it's near you. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. It's there already. It's just waiting to be brought out. Hallelujah. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Now, I understand that that's talking about salvation, but we have to understand that this applies to everything. Why? Because He gave us salvation. Think back to Romans 8:32. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? So salvation is connected, and salvation for life is connected. It's all connected. It's all intertwined. If the greatest thing that we are going to receive is Jesus, then everything lesser, why wouldn't we think it would come some other way? Anything lesser than Jesus, why would it be harder? That would be foolishness, right? Okay, so let's read verse 10, though, because this is very important. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation as the present possession of all Christians. That's what it means. That's in the Greek. Salvation is the present possession. Present possession. Now, you receive salvation today. If you've received it and you die, you're going to heaven. But you're not dying today, so you're not in need of that salvation today, per se. You understand what I mean? You don't need that ticket into heaven, amen, until you get on the train. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. But there's something more that comes with life. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? John 10:10, the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. Whatever. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You see the connections that we're making here. But see, what does it say in verse 10? He says, for with the heart one believes, so you can believe in your heart unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made into receiving that thing that you're confessing. Confession is how we get there. Confession is what opens the door. So therefore, whatever we are confessing, whatever we are saying, you know, we were talking about, there's a song back in the, when I was my late teens, early 20s. I can't remember, sometime around there. But it was called Mambo No. 5. You ever remember that song? I'm not going to start getting into it because, you know, and then we'll all be singing it. Yeah. But that song, man, that song had this awesome, like beat to it. I could start doing it, but I'm doing it in my head right now. So, but you start doing it, and you're like, man, this is a really cool song. I love that song, you know. And it just, everybody listened to it, get stuck in it. But you know what's funny is that song was entirely about fornication and adultery. And that song was constantly about sleeping with one girl this night and going with someone else the next night, and then someone else the night after that, all evil. But think about how that gets stuck in your head. And then what are people doing? They're singing that stuff. And I remember one time I was in a doctor's office when I was first a Christian, when I was first coming back to the Lord in my late teens. I remember I was in the doctor's office, and there was this little girl, just maybe 4 or 5 years old, and she was singing this song by one of the popular girl bands at the time. And it was, I'm not going to tell you the name of the song, but it was a song that was talking about like that kind of living. And this little girl was singing it. You see, what happens is we allow this stuff in the culture to be put into us as Christians. And then it's what starts coming out. And then what happens after a certain time is we start living that culture. You know, this is why it's such a problem in the church when so many churches are trying to look like the world. Well, I'm trying to look everything different than the world. I don't want to look anything like the world. If it looks like the world in here, we got trouble. Why? Because you can't have God in the world. The Bible says that the two fight against each other. You can't have them. You can't have the world and have God. That's why our church service is not about being pleasing to men. Our church service is about pleasing the Lord. It's about worshiping the way God said, not the way I want to worship, but the way God said to worship. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we worship God the way he wants us to. Glory. Hallelujah. We do things, we endeavor to do things the way that God wants us to do them. Amen. But it's important because, see, we put these things in us. And why I was talking about those songs is because that's just an example, a small example of how we will be accustomed to something, and then that's what comes out. We're singing that, and then we believe it. And then all of a sudden we're thinking, well, you know what? Maybe it's not a bad thing if I'm just with whoever. You know, maybe it's I want to be with this person this day. You know, like people don't understand covenant anymore. Covenant, there was a day when you couldn't split a marriage, even if it was horrible. Now, I'm not saying that that's good. But I'm just saying that there was a day that covenant meant so much to people that they wouldn't just drop it at the drop of a hat. But nowadays, people get married and they're like, oh, I want to do something else this week, so I'll see you. Yeah. But see, that's not the way God wants to work. It's happening in the church, too. Listen, you can change. Two Christians, if they're living right, should never get divorced. Right. Yeah, if two Christians want to live right, there's no reason to ever get divorced. Because you don't ever fall out of love. Why? Because the Bible tells us that you act in love. You walk in love. There's no such thing as falling out of love. That's called being stupid and letting the ball drop. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, you let yourself go, child of God. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, absolutely. Marriages don't fall apart because people fell out of love. Oh, I just don't love them anymore. That's because you choose not to. Yeah, you choose not to. You choose to love all this other stuff all the time. Listen, it's easy when you first get together. And this is what's so stupid about it, about the whole thing. It's so easy when you first get together to, like, be infatuated with one another because it's all new. Hey, you're fresh, I'm fresh. Huh? Let's be fresh together. Hallelujah. We never known each other. But then after you do it for a few months, you know, maybe, then starts maybe things come up. You know, sooner or later you move in together, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, you got stuff. And I got stuff. Praise the Lord. That's the way it happens, right? Husbands and wives. But what do? We push through. We work through that stuff. My wife and I don't have heaven on earth in a marriage because we're perfect or because God just loved us so much. He did love us a lot. But he didn't just do something special for us he ain't willing to do for everybody else. We have heaven on earth because we follow the word in our marriage. Because we choose to forgive each other. Hallelujah. And it helps that I'm so awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pastor perfect. That's right. Amen. Praise God. All right. So what we're putting in is what's going to come out. And what we believe, that's what's going to come out. That's why I hear people all the time. I hear people saying stuff all the time. Oh, it doesn't matter. See, if you just get your mind renewed, you won't do anything wrong. You won't vote wrong. You won't speak wrong. You know, this world, listen, this world is full of a whole bunch of policies that have gone wrong. I'm not getting on a political soapbox here. I'm just going to tell you right now. There was a reason that one day, you know, not too many years ago, that every vehicle in the parking lot could have a gun in the back of the car and nobody was going in and shooting up the school, and today that they are. There's a reason for that, and the reason isn't because people all of a sudden are getting better. Well, you just look at the policies that have been in place, and you see why we have those things. Amen. And somebody needs to stand up for it. Yeah, hallelujah. There's something wrong when you start, like, just tearing things apart, tearing up the fabric of society and saying, none of this matters anymore. Praise the Lord. A guy can't hold a door for a woman anymore because that's somehow... Do you know why men held door for women? It wasn't because they were weaker. It was out of respect. Because the men at one point knew that there was... you gave a woman that certain place of respect. I hold the door for my wife not because she's weaker than I am. She could probably whoop me. And that's at the point. I hold the door for my wife because it's honoring her. It's saying, I'm preferring you over me. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing wrong with holding doors. And if you're a feminazi and you got a problem with that, well, God bless you. Hallelujah. That's not, you're looking at it all wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to honor one another. Amen. It's not wrong to, you know, I can't, I'll say it again. Hallelujah. This way, when we do dinners or anything like that, listen, kids, you can wait. If an older person is there sitting and needs a seat, then you get up and let that older person sit there. Why? Because you haven't been here long enough to deserve that seat. You haven't put enough into this world yet to deserve that seat. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the truth. It makes me mad when I see an older person standing and the kids are just sitting there hanging out. I speak to my own kids about this too. Hallelujah. If two older people are talking, you don't come in and interrupt because that's not your place. Oh, don't get me on that soapbox. I'm going to get me. Confession to possession. Hallelujah. But see, if this stuff isn't said, though, if we don't hear this stuff, then we just fall in line with the rest of the world. Parents, you run your household. If you let your kids make decisions, you're an idiot. I'm just telling you. Yeah, is that harsh? A little harsh, hallelujah. Well, let me say this a little bit nicer. If you let your kids make all your decisions, you're an idiot. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Your kids don't, like, listen, the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Therefore, the decisions they will make are going to be dumb decisions. And if your house is guided by what the children are picking, you're just as much as a fool. If foolishness is bound in the heart of a child and you let them do it, who's a fool? Who's more of a fool but the fool that lets the fool do what the fool wants to do? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, oh, praise God, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Get back to this. Mark 11:22, amen. We just need to know how to do it right. Amen? And we're going to catch it before it goes off the cliff. I'm talking about the whole bus, you know what I mean? The whole bus of society is heading off a cliff and it's heading there fast. We're going to drag it right back. Hear that? We're going to have some people jump off with me. Amen? Before it goes that way. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want you to hold your place there. And just hold, keep your hand there. Have faith in God. Remember that. And flip over to 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm just going to keep it here. Okay. In order to have faith in God, you must have the God kind of faith. You can't have faith in God if you don't have the God kind of faith. Amen? Why? Because to have faith in God, you have to understand who God is. You have to understand what he does. And you understand that God is a God of faith. So you have to have his kind of faith to understand how to have faith in God. Amen? James 2:17 tells us faith without works is dead. Praise the Lord. This is really important to understand these things. Amen? Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. That's faith in God. I do what I see the Father do. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Listen, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. God believed and spoke. We are to believe and speak. But what people are doing is they're believing the wrong thing and then they're speaking the wrong thing. We need to believe the word and speak the word. The reason that people don't get through trials in their life is because they don't believe the word or they're not speaking the word or both. We need to believe the word and then speak the word. I am going to remind you guys of something. God is not a quick fix God. When people pray, generally, they almost always pray from the place of not having faith. How do I know this? Because people generally are only praying once something happens. Once something happens, oh my God, we got to go pray. Scared prayers. Those aren't prayers of faith. Those prayers don't get answered. This is why a lot of Christians, because they don't spend time in the Word, they don't spend time in faith, building their faith. And so, therefore, they're not building their faith, and then something happens. See, when something happens, people say this to me all the time. They don't get it. But the people say this all the time. Oh, my gosh, this happened. You got to pray for me. Why? I endeavor to stay in a place of prayer and of faith all the time. So I don't have to go pray for anybody. That's why I won't rush right down, you know, when something's happening. That's why I don't do that. Why? Because that's being scared. That's not following God. It's not following his way. It's not doing the things. It's not having the God kind of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. God didn't freak out when something happened. When Jesus was here, one of the greatest examples of faith we have an account of is Jesus in the boat that was sinking with the hurricane storm going all around, and Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping. He was sleeping, the boat, and they were freaking out. The disciples are like bailing it out of water. Master, don't you care that we're sinking? He didn't care. Why? He was God. He knew the Lord told him to go to the other side, and that's exactly what he was doing. And he told them, I'm going to the other side. Praise the Lord. Listen, the storms of life are going to happen. I know this feeling. I'm right there with you. I've felt these things before. When something happens, the first thing you go to is, why God? Because you live in this world. Because you live in a fallen world the devil wants you to see you fail. So that's why. You don't need to ask why. You just need to do. You just need to act in faith. You need to step. You need to confess and possess. Hallelujah. What is confession? Well, when I have the direction to go to the other side of whatever it is, when the storm rises up, as it's going to rise up, it has to rise up because that's what the storm does. It wants to take you out. When it rises up, that's our time to shine. I said, that's our time to shine. That's when Christians should put it on and say, well, glory to God, this is what I've been preparing for. Amen. This is game day, hallelujah. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to sack that devil, hallelujah. I'm going to run all over. There ain't nobody keeping me back. Oh, you bring that storm, hallelujah. I'll just run faster. I'll run harder. I'll knock you right over. Don't get in my way, hallelujah. This is the way Christians should be. You see, an athlete, when they train, they've trained for that day, and they know that when they go out there, they're going to give it everything they got, and they believe they're going to be the winners, otherwise they would never step foot on that field. But Christians should be the same way, but the problem is they are not training in the day when they need to be preparing. They're watching TV, or they're off doing the barbecues, or they're off doing everything else. They're not training for what God has for them, and that's why they don't see the outcome they want to see. They say, how can I have the God kind of faith, because I've never built anything in me. They can't. You can't see the God kind of faith unless you build it in you. This is why we talk about a lifestyle of living for God, not a once in a while as it's convenient for me or as it works into my schedule kind of thing. No, we serve God every day of our lives because we know that's the only way. Because the opposite of serving God is hell, and I ain't going there. I lived enough time on my way to hell. I'm not going back to that garbage. And I don't think any of you should go with me or go without me. Hallelujah. You need to go with me. Hallelujah. You need to be on the same train on. Let's get on over into the promised land. He said, there's the promised land. Take it. Let's go take it, for God's sakes. We've been given everything that we can get over to get over into it. There is no obstacle. He said, there's nothing that can stand before a child of God. Jesus said that to one who believes, all things are possible. So let's go over into all things. Let's start claiming it and taking it. Let's start speaking right. Let's stop speaking about how big the devil is and start speaking about how big our God is. Hallelujah. At some point, Christians need to wake up and say, listen, the reason it isn't working is because we're not doing this. This is what works, not what you thought. When you came in here broken and you turned back to that same stuff, you're going back to the vomit. This is what works, not that. The bars are not going to work for you. The alcohol is not going to work for you. The drugs will not work for you. Praise the Lord. That promiscuous relationship or way of living, that is not going to work for you. Not serving God didn't work for you before, and it won't work for you now. It certainly ain't going to work for you once you come to the church. I have made God the most important thing in my life because I understand. Listen, people look at my life, they don't understand where I came from. As one man put it, I was the guttermost. I came out of the very lowest depths. People couldn't even, there was nobody that would look at me and ever think that I would amount to anything. And they let me know that. I was trash. I wasn't worth anything. I wasn't worth the piece of dirt on the bottom of your shoe. I was worth nothing. I was worthless without God. But it was when God got in me and the Word started getting in me that things started finally changing, because I let Him change me. I said, you know what? I don't want my way anymore, because my way was sending me to hell. I want the promises of God. I want to live in the glory of God. And I want to do it here because I am tired of losing. I am tired of losing. And that's what Christians need to do. They need to get to the place where they are tired of being defeated, where they are tired of being wrecked, where you are tired of having hopelessness and being scared all the time and just watching everything fall apart around you. You need to stand up on the Word of God and say, I'm going through to the other side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You got me wound up now. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going through. We don't sing that song because it's something fluffy nice to sing. We say we're going through because we're going through. We're going through because we're getting to where God's taking us. And I ain't going to be, I'm going to tell you what, I love all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love all the Baptists. I love the Methodists, the Episcopals, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Catholics. I love them all. I love them all. But that didn't mean I'm going to follow every one of them, because some of them are just plain dumb. Praise the Lord. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His Word. And as long as I follow His Word, you need to keep following too. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God's got things for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of Him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I remember the first time I came across the scripture. I thought, dear Jesus, that's powerful. There was never a blade of grass anywhere. And God said, let there be grass, and there was grass. Praise the Lord. He He said, there wasn't a hippopotamus anywhere to be found. He said, hippopotamus. He didn't even say a hippopotamus. He just called that thing forth and he said, Adam, you name it. That's exactly what God did. He calls those things that be not as though they were. And then it tells us to do the same thing. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Do what he does. Do what he says to do. How do we change our life? We change it with these two things, right? This hole right here. The gaping hole below our nose. Praise the Lord. Yeah. A lot of people using that for evil, and God just wants you to use it for God. Amen. So you stayed in Mark, right? You kept a finger there or hand there. Mark 11:22. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you got so excited you flipped some pages, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now look at what Jesus said. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, have faith in God because of this. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There is one time in this passage that he says, believe. There are three times that he says, say. Praise the Lord. This is what our God is. This is who our God is. This is how he created us to be. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That is living in a place of faith. Praise the Lord. Therefore I say to you, verse 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That is talking about things prayed in faith. That is talking about a person who spends time with God and prays in faith. A person who spends time in the Word and understands God's will not pray for things that don't matter. They won't be asking for them for God to smite their neighbor. That's why you're not going to pray for that. And it's not going to happen. But see, when you pray, when you stay before God, when you follow God, he's going to lead you into all that stuff. He's going to lead you to the direction that you need to be. And then he's going to say, here, this is what's yours. And you'll pray for it because you want it. You need it. And it'll manifest. That's how it happens. God is not a quick fix God. If you come in today thinking that you're going to turn a lifetime of living for the devil around in one day, you aren't going to do it. There are people that live in the church, that go to church their entire lives, that live for the devil. How do I know? Because they don't do the word. Amen? That's the truth. You cannot turn it around overnight. But with faith, you can turn it around. Because God wants to build more faith in you. God doesn't want to see you. He knows that you have issues. He'll sustain you. He knows that you have issues. But he isn't going to just see you wipe it out or just take it and run with it. Why? Because a lot of people, they get helped and they turn around and they walk out the door. I've seen it happen time and time again. They get the blessing that they need. They get what they were after. They get their marriage restored. They're gone. See ya. Yeah. They get their life turned new. And see ya, God. All this time, God wanted to do something great in them, and they just wanted what they wanted. They didn't want God. See, that's not a place of faith. And guess what will happen to them? It'll all fall apart. Right. It'll all fall apart anyways. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. I've seen people that have gotten offended by the truth left, and I've seen those same people. Praise the Lord. My wife just showed me one the other day. They were getting really connected to family church. They got offended about something stupid, something religious. They got offended about it. And they're sitting there with cancer. Yeah, absolutely. What's that? Tearing them up. Is it because that's what God wanted? No, because they knew that they were where they were. They said it with their own mouths. I was supposed to be here. They said it. They knew it with their own hearts. They said, I was supposed to be here. And they were the ones that were, Pastor, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about another church. They were like, Pastor, you're so wonderful. This is the place we needed. This is where we needed to be. This is setting our life straight. This is what we needed to find. All this wonderful stuff. And then they get offended by one stupid thing because they don't want to let go of the religious thinking, the religious devils. And then they walk away. And then the devil is free to attack them. Well, praise the Lord. Because God doesn't, see, you don't, this is the thing. I've said this so many times. You can go to any church in town, but it's a lot better if you find out which one God wants you at. Because that's where he's got your supply. That's where he's got you connected. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People, you know, there's times people have asked me to pray for them, and I do just as a, just to help them, but I can't help them because they don't do the word. I can't help them because they reject the commandments of God, and then they want the blessing of God. You can't have both. You can't reject God and have his blessing at the same time. You can't do opposite what he told you to do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm telling you these things not to hurt you or bring you down, but to tell you the truth. Listen, there's like this is a real thing. This Christian walk. This isn't just something we play on Sundays. This isn't just something that, I could try this. I could just do this, or I could just have a little bit. This doesn't work that way. God is a covenant God. He is an all or nothing God. Think about if your marriage. Listen, if you're a husband and wife and you spend every waking minute somewhere else, you aren't going to have a good relationship. You can't have a good relationship because you're not feeding it. But the same thing is with God. The husband and wife, the marriage covenant was given to us to understand our covenant with God. The two are synonymous. When you take your marriage vows, right? When you stand there before your lovely, praise the Lord. You're looking at her, women, you're looking at him, praise the Lord. It might not, you know, it just depends. I don't know. For me, it was, you know, not that much, but, you know, well, you were on heels, so it was a little bit more even, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter, hallelujah. Doesn't matter. However it works out, praise the Lord. But if you're looking at your spouse and you're giving the vows, what do you do? Do you sit there, okay, it's my turn to give my vows to my wife, and I say, what are the vows? Just kidding. But I say to my wife, or my wife-to-be in a few minutes, praise the Lord, I look at her and I say, and this is what you're going to do for me, right? Till death, I will love you, or you will love me, you are forsaking all others, you're going to serve me. That's what we say, right? That's what the vows are, right? You're going to do everything for me that I want. Wait, it doesn't work that way? That's not the vows? I think I messed it up, huh? No, what do? You stand there and you say what you are going to give that other person. I will be a husband to you. I will be a wife to you. Yeah. I will do all those things that I'm supposed to do. Forsaking all others. We say these things, but people a lot of times don't mean it. This is why good marriage counseling should teach us this stuff ahead of time. I've sat here to give marriage counseling to people I was about to marry. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't even come to church anymore. Thank you, Lord. Well, they got a free marriage out of it, I guess. So. But at any rate, they sat here and they're like, oh, yeah, this sounds really good. This is exactly how I want to live. But, of course, they're blowing smoke. It's not exactly how they want to live, because when people get married, then it's all about what I want. It's all about what I need. And that's why they don't understand their covenant with God, because it's the same thing. God gave us that so we could understand him. Do you understand? A husband and wife make a perfect picture of who our Heavenly Father is when the husband and wife are doing right. That's why marriages where husbands and wife don't do right, they generally don't do God right either, because they don't understand that covenant here. See, God is, he gives us examples of earth, of what things are as on earth as it is in heaven, right? Back to the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. He gives us these examples so we can see, so we can understand him better. So we can understand, when we look around and see abundance, that's because we have an abundance God. When we look around and we see beauty, that's because we have a beautiful God. We have a creative God. But when we look at our spouse, we should see God. When we look at our marriage, we should see God. God is about covenant. Do you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is right now. It's called adultery. It's called spiritual adultery. But even in a marriage relationship, if you don't foster those things, if I don't make my wife the object of my affection, it's spiritual, it's adultery. And if she doesn't make me the object of her affection, it's adultery. Well, if everything else is more important than that, it's adultery. That's what it is. It's cheating on them. And then when the marriage falls apart, it's your fault. Yeah. That's exactly the way it is. See, we're not taught these things, are we, before people go out and marry? They just think, hey, he's hot, she's hot, let's get together and have some kids and house and stuff. Praise the Lord. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. That's why. Because there's no plan. There's no understanding. There's no, wait a minute. If you want to be a playboy or playgirl, then you do that outside the marriage covenant. I'm not suggesting you go do it. It's stupid to go do it, but I'm just saying don't ruin the marriage by doing that. If you don't want to be married, then don't be married. You know what I mean? People do that all the time. They're like, I want to get married so bad. I want to get married so bad. Then they get married, and then they're off doing something else with somebody else all the time. Yeah. It's like, well, praise the Lord. I don't know why I'm on this, but it's good. Hallelujah. It's free, no charge. Because marriage is an important thing. Because you know something? God has created the marriage to like married couples. We call them power couples in the church. Praise the Lord. I could name some power couples in this church. People who are married and they're living for God. They're living after God and they want to serve God more and they want to serve in the church more and they want to do that. They're power couples. These are people that will see things in their life that nobody else will see. And listen, if you don't have a spouse or if you don't have a spouse in the church, you don't have to get sad about that. You just be a power, you be a power single. You make up for their half, what they're not doing. Hallelujah. And believe God to bring them in because it happens all the time. Praise the Lord. God loves marriage. I love marriage. I don't love weddings so much because weddings generally have nothing to do with marriage. They're usually this big party that people blow up out of proportion, and then they don't know how to marry. They don't know how to be married. They just have this big fancy Cinderella fest that usually goes wrong because when you overplan anything, it always goes wrong, right? I mean, how many greatest planned weddings have you seen? I remember this one wedding we were going to be part of, and it was like, we're going to have this, and we're going to have that, and it's going to look like just like this. And you know, we had a real bridezilla on our hands, amen? Praise the Lord. My wife and I had a really modest marriage, and if we could go back, we would have even made it more modest, right? We would have taken more out. We probably would have just done it in a church service and got, you know, been done with it, praise the Lord, and lived on marriage because everything good came afterwards. A lot of people, the best thing they ever have is that wedding day. Yeah. Maybe the wedding night too, I mean, but after that, it's all praise the Lord. Just being real. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are we? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual adultery. Hebrews 11, 1. We're getting close to the end. You know how we do it around here, right? Hebrews 11, 1. Praise the Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? Faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. The amplified version of this says, by it, the elders obtained a good report. What's a good report? What's a testimony? A testimony is something that's spoken. By it, by faith, they obtained the good testimony. By faith they did. Hallelujah. It's because they believed and therefore they spoke. Remember we read that? I believed and therefore I spoke. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what faith is. Faith is speaking. Faith is not being silent. It's speaking against those things. Listen, sooner or later you get tired of having the devil come against you. So you start speaking against him instead of speaking for him. I got to a point where I'm like, I'm going to stop talking about how big the devil is. Yeah. You know what? The devil tries to remind me all the time where I came from and what a loser I was. Yeah. What a loser I still am. That's what he tries to tell me all the time. A lot of times it's before church service. You know what I did yesterday? We were getting ready to go. Well, actually, we were going. And I had these thoughts just trying to come at me. You ain't got it in you. You can't do that, da-da-da, all this stuff, you know. I said, no way, devil, not today. Not today. Not today, motor scooter. I ain't doing it today, hallelujah. We ain't doing this. No, no, no. I am the anointed of the Lord. I am called to that place, and so I'm going there, and I'm going to preach the gospel. It's going to be good, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I had a word over me this week, hallelujah. When I was at a ministry meeting this week, all week long. People have a hard time going to church. I'll tell you what, I was in church like, what, four, morning and night. Five services this week, in the week, during the week, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I got called out, Reverend Greer called me out, he called the ministers up, and he prophesied over me. And he said that there was going to be a breaking out, he said, in my ministry. And he said words were going to be like a hammer, and they would break things. They would break the bondages off people. Praise the Lord. So I told my wife last night as we were going to church, I said, glory to God, it's hammer time. Hallelujah. It's hammer time. We're gonna hammer time. It's hammer time. We're gonna start breaking things off. We're gonna root up. We're gonna tear down. Praise the Lord. We're gonna go through there. We're gonna be a wrecking ball. Hallelujah. We're gonna break all that garbage off people. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I believe it. I believe I've seen the stuff. You know why he prophesied stuff over me all last year that came to pass in this last year? Praise the Lord. When you find a good prophet, you hang on to it. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. And I found me a good prophet, so I'm just going to hang on to him a little bit longer. Hallelujah. I got to sow into his life. I'm going to be a blessing to him. Why? Because he's a blessing to me. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm just waiting for people to start bringing that stuff in. We're cleaning house here. Hallelujah. I don't mean cleaning house, getting people. I mean people are going to come in hurting, and we're going to destroy that stuff. Because the anointing is what breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that. And it's the anointing that God places there that breaks the yoke. So you got yokes, we'll just break them off. Hallelujah. We'd be chopping them up, breaking them up, little pieces. Hallelujah. By faith, they obtained a good report. Amen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke things into existence. He called those things that were not as though they were. He said, this is what's going to be. And because he had the faith, it happened. And I'm going to tell you what. He put that same faith power in you and I. Because by it the elders obtained. By it Abraham, though his body was dead, was conceiving kids at 100 years old. What are you doing at 100 years old? I bet it ain't popping out babies. Hallelujah. But I tell you right now, Abraham was, because the word of the Lord came to him and he said, I'm going through, I'm having what he said, and there ain't nothing going to stop it. Hallelujah. That's exactly what's there for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. In the first chapter of Genesis, in the first chapter of all Scripture, it has 31 verses. We see God command something in those 31 verses 20 different times at least. At least 20 times he commands in 31 verses. Praise the Lord. Praise God. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. We may have boldness. That word boldness means a surety. See, when you're sure, you will be bold. When somebody says to you something about somebody that you love and you know isn't the truth, you say, that's not true. And you say it boldly. You may get fired up. You may get mad because you know their character. You know that it's not true. Hallelujah. That's what boldness is. It knows. When you have the boldness of God, you will know what his word says. And you will know what belongs to you. And you will know that nobody can take it from you. No devil in hell, no person on earth. There ain't nobody that can take from you what is yours if you're not willing to let it go. Hallelujah. If you'll stand on the word of God, because so is he, just as he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. Now look at this real quick. Just look at it up here. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. This is what he told his people to do. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. You take charge of the earth. You don't let the earth take charge of you. You walk over the earth and you subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves all over the earth. You take control of it. Hallelujah. This is how he set his people up. This is what Jesus came to put us back into. And yet Christians want to sit around writing poetry about how bad the devil is. And how strong he's, how tough it is, and how he's just ripping me apart inside. Talk about how good and how big your God is. You talk about, you would see, that's the problem. When you're facing something, you need to confess something. When you got the trials coming against you, when they're tearing you apart, when they're putting you down, you stand up and you start speaking. And even if it's a small voice, you muster what you can. And you say, not today, motor scooter. I got what the Lord has given me. It's been put inside of me. I'm a faithful child of God as much as I know how. And I'm going through to the other side. This is how you do it. This is how you win. You don't win by talking about how bad it is. You lose. When you talk about how bad it is, you further heap on you the trials that you are facing, and you remove God's power. John 4:35. Look at this. And this is what we're closing with. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready, white for harvest. Yeah. The harvest is there for us if we are going to take it. But we have to decide that we are going to be people that are going to take it and not people that it is going to be taken from. We decide we possess what God has from us through our faith, but with our words, with what we say. Now, maybe, there's one place the Bible tells us he put a watch over his mouth. He actually asked the Lord to put a watch over his mouth. You put a watch over your mouth. Ask the Lord to help you with that. Lord, if I'm speaking against you, if I'm speaking things that aren't that shouldn't be, then help me with that. And then when you become aware of that, then you correct it. This is how you get through. This is how you change things. You aren't going to change it any other way. You aren't going to change it by confessing how big the devil is. We all go through trials. Listen, I've been through great and mighty trials, trials that almost took me out. We've gone through trials of faith, trials of health, trials of death. We've been through all the trials. I have watched all kinds of things be torn apart in my family. I have seen the devil wreak havoc and try to the worst of the worst. And there's been times where it just didn't seem like it could be any worse. But somebody stood there in those times and taught me this word. And that's how I broke through. And that's how I continue to break through. And the only way that you will break through is by standing your ground and saying, enough is enough. I'm going to speak what's right and now it's wrong. Because what you speak is what you get. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power in our mouths. But we got to use it. We're going to use it. We're going to use it because that's what we want. We want your word. We want your truth. Father, thank you for it. We praise you for it. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Lord, you're so good to us. It's time. It's time, Lord. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. It's time that God's people walk in change. It's time that God's people change and go a different way. That they stop going the way of the world. They stop going the way that they were headed. And they say, it's time. It's time to be on board. The harvest is ready. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready to be reaped. And I'm going to reap it. It's time that we say, enough is enough. It's time. It's time. It's time. We thank you, Lord, that it's time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your ability. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So worthy. Love you, God. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we love you so much. So thankful what you've done, that you set us up so we could win. Father, we praise you for it. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Praise the Lord. I give you opportunity to receive Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that you can do. There's a lot of things in this life that you can be, but the most important is to be born again. The Bible says, and we read it there in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is the only way that somebody is guaranteed into heaven. The only Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. You must receive Jesus in order if you want to go to heaven. So with all heads bowed, all eyes are closed, we give everybody opportunity. Every week we give people opportunity in case there's somebody in here that hasn't. But if that's you and you want to, we're not going to call you up front. We're not going to make you do anything fancy. We're just going to have you raise your hand from where you are. I'll have you put it right back down, and then we will all pray a prayer together. If that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you like that assurance, you want to know that you're going to heaven, if that's you and you can believe it, just raise your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is there any other hands? Any other hands? Hallelujah. We want to give one more opportunity, as we always do this as well. Maybe you have received Jesus and you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're none of us going to be perfect. But you completely walked away from him. And you want to come back and you're ready to say, Lord, I just want to live for you. I'm tired of where I've been. I'm tired of what I've done. But now I want to come back and I want to live for you. I'm going to do my best. If that's you, if you want to come back today because you've been off, go ahead and raise your hand real quick too. Thank you, Lord. See that hand. Thank you, Lord. See that hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Praise him. Well, there's a few hands, so we're going to pray a prayer together. If you raise your hand, pray this from your heart. Just mean it. Now listen, this is a new start for you. Praise the Lord. It's a new start. So if you raise your hand, pray this prayer with us. We're all going to pray this. So everybody pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so I can live for you. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior of the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God.